Thanks, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. We have one more day on the week, and then you're done. You can watch cartoons on Saturday.
Just like do they you still like. Have them on Saturday?
They do not. They do not. Very sad. It was the best part of the week when we were growing up, and now it's just been taken away because there's networks devoted to the showing of cartoons.
But there was something so special about, you know, you'd think you'd want to sleep in on a Saturday,
sure.
But oh no.
Got a job to do. Got to see what the Super Friends are up to. Got to see what Scooby-Doo and the gang are going to do.
Super Friends.
The Super Friends.
You forgot about them.
How could you forget about them with Bill here?
Yeah.
Well, because you guys are my new Super Friends.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's very nice of you. I'm guessing at some point you watched a little bit of The Trial yesterday.
I watched a lot of it.
I did, too. What did you make of what you saw?
I have mixed emotions on things. I hate that things are so...
partisan?
Yes, exactly.
There is that.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And there are some things, you know, you got a guy who lies and then you call him back. I know that was the tagline of a lot of Republicans.
Yes, it was.
But... I don't know. He's under oath. He lied under oath before. He's been caught.
He's going to prison for it.
So, yeah, so what, I mean.
So he knows it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
That was much of the Republican stance of why would we even consider the words of a man who is a known liar? And I get that.
I do, too.
That makes sense. Steve, let's go back to something you just said a little bit ago. It's disturbing how partisan it is. So is there a way to avoid that? Because I don't know that there is anymore.
Well, I think if the country starts to move and the evidence starts to move a little more definitively against the president, Republicans would be more likely to. People were comparing it to the Watergate hearings, which were not nearly as partisan as the stuff you're seeing now. But, you know, it was a different time, and those were impeachment hearings, and you know, I think the allegations were pretty serious. So we'll see if they ever come around. But, you know, there have been a lot of Republicans who have refused to break with anything this president does.
Tell me.
Because of see, this is my major question.
Yeah.
I have to ask.
Yeah.
Are they just sticking to the party because that's what they do? Are they backing the president? If they know some of these things to be factual, how can they go to sleep at night knowing they're still supporting him? I don't understand it.
Combination of all that, Steve? What do you think?
Well, look, they're politicians, and if you're in the House, you run every other year, which means you're basically always running. A lot of Republicans have faced challenges from the right, and the president has been willing, you know, to stand up against Republicans running. So I think a lot of them are just concerned about winning their Republican primary for re-election.
What about what's good for the country?
What?
Does that enter into it at all?
Nope.
Well... well, that's the point. Yeah, there will be a point that we'll get there, but clearly we weren't there yesterday.
I watched most of the coverage on MSNBC when I got back.
You just wanted to look at Mike Monaco.
Well, it's funny you say that. I sent him a note yesterday. For people who don't know, Mike Monaco is Michael Cohen's chief attorney, his main counsel, and I've known him for years. And I sent him a note. He's a friend of Rokan's.
And he's
a frequent contributor to the show. I got to know him on there. I play tennis with him all the time. He's a wonderful guy and an amazing attorney. And I sent him a note that just said, "Mike, you're on TV more today than Ryan Seacrest is." And he just said, "Thank you for noticing."
I couldn't stop staring at him.
Yeah, and you know, his job in this is, of course, extremely important. But his side job is that you have to, there's a look you have to have when you're sitting right behind Michael Cohen all through this trial. And I think Mike has mastered it, which is you have to be incredibly interested in what's going on, but you can't overplay it.
And you have to look confident like it's
right.
All handled.
And he's the poster boy for confidence.
Oh, yeah.
When you commit a crime, Wendy, I would suggest highly to you that you use Mike Monaco as your attorney. You're going to need his number because he's so good.
Remember Oliver North's attorney, Brendan? I can't remember. Brendan.
What was his name?
But at one point he said, "I am not a potted plant here."
Brendan Sullivan.
Brendan Sullivan.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So on NBC, on MSNBC. They were doing what we just did for a second there, where they were talking about the parallels of what's going on right now with the Watergate hearings. And there was a woman on who said something that I think is really interesting. And she said, back then, the focus was on one or two things that Richard Nixon either did or didn't do. But with Donald Trump, there's such a laundry list of things that it's really hard to focus on any one or two or three in particular, that there's just so much. And that could end up being the worst part of it, is that there's no, you can't really focus on just one thing or two things.
Right, well,
with Watergate, you could.
Right. It's because there's so much of it that it's become diluted or overwhelming, or, you know, you don't.
Right.
You don't see the trees anymore for the forest.
Right.
That's not the quite right way to use that phrase. But, yeah, there's just so much. I mean, look, it's rich, too. Others have documented the president's lies.
Yep.
They've counted them. They've published them. And so when you have members of the House Republicans ripping Cohen because he's not truthful, why should we believe you? You've lied to us before.
Right.
I mean, that rings a little hollow.
It's also weird to me that you're allowed to bring in a poster that condemns the man, that, you know, it's taken shots at him right there during the trial. You got a poster in there with clever witticisms on the poster. That just, it's not a high school pep rally.
No.
There's a lot more going on than that. So I'm surprised that that's allowable.
I was just watching it in disbelief that our country is so unbelievably divided.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump, if Donald Trump is doing things that makes our country look bad or is illegal, how could you not
do something about
it? Yeah. Who cares about your party at this point?
So maybe that's what's changed since the 1970s when we went through this with Watergate. There seemed to be more of that exact principle where people would say, well, this is really, the country's just crumbling. We got to do something. People seem to think that now, but it's the doing something part that's getting lost in the mix somehow.
Did he have a sandwich or something? Because he was testifying all day. I know there was a break, but...
Yeah, they did. They adjourned for lunch and came back and did a second lunch.
What do you think
lunch.
He had?
I don't know.
Because if had a heavy lunch, you got to go back and testify for several more hours. You don't want pasta. You don't want a carb load.
Yeah.
You know, one of my... I didn't see much of it. I was moving people, my mother-in-law, so I was busy. But, and maybe reassuring it in a weird way, because Mark Meadows was the, you know, from the Freedom Caucus, the Republican who brought an African-American worker for
yes.
Trump, and which, you know, it seems to have backfired tremendously. But at one point, he took offense at being called a racist, and Elijah Cummings, the African-American chairman of the Oversight Committee, the Democrat, you know, that they had an exchange to which they said, look, it might surprise people, but Cummings said, you are my best friend on this committee.
Right.
I saw, yeah.
So, you know, that's reassuring, isn't it? I mean, these are two guys who are absolutely opposed to each other politically. And, you know, we need to see more of that stuff, I think, sometimes, too.
That was a weird stretch. I mean, there were a lot of weird stretches throughout the day. But that, for me, Steve, was one of the strangest. I saw that start to finish.
Me, too.
I didn't know what exactly to make of that. There were comments made that were considered to be racist comments, and then he took objection and said, are you calling me a racist? And then it got
right.
heated.
And then the woman, the freshman congresswoman, I think she's from Minnesota, had to say, I wasn't referring to you. Well, I mean, clearly she was.
But when you think about her complaint was, all right, so at that point they were trying to establish whether or not Donald Trump is a racist.
Right.
And they brought in an African-American who works for Donald Trump as if to say, well, look, here's an African-American person, so he can't be racist. He's hired
That's the equivalent to, I have a black friend.
No, yeah. It's exactly what it is. It's like some of my, you know, I have black friends.
Yeah.
Right, so this woman was standing behind Meadows, and she couldn't speak because, I mean, she didn't have standing to speak, so she just sort of stood there, and Meadows spoke for her. It was a weird...
It was
a strange
very
stretch.
I mean, it wasn't a smart thing, I don't think, even... I don't know how he thought it could have worked out. It's an odd thing.
And then she was trying to determine, she came back, they brought her back to reiterate her statements.
The congresswoman.
Tlaib, is that how you say her last name?
Tlaib, I think, yeah.
So then she was trying to differentiate the difference between doing something that is racist. Like she was talking about how it made her uncomfortable to see them parade somebody out, a person of color, just as a kind of a prop, as if to say
she was a prop,
right?
Evidence.
Yeah. But right,
it was an unusual thing, and I mean, I like the positive part of it of Cummings and Meadows discussing their
Their friendship?
Yeah, they're professing their friendship. Yeah. Their great friendship.
But other than that, I don't know what he was thinking.
But Steve, did you notice that every time they talked about that friendship, and there were a couple of other parts where they did this, there was the sidebar of, and you'll all find this hard to believe.
Yeah, he said
they
it.
They kept
reiterating. A lot of people, you won't believe this. Some of you don't like it.
Right.
And just to put it in perspective, Meadows from this Freedom Caucus is, I mean, they're among the guys who brought down John Boehner,
yes,
the Republican.
Yes.
I mean, they are very strident and coming certainly a liberal member from Maryland. So I just, that was my favorite part of the day. I didn't see a lot of it, but I at least took some reassurance from that.
It was explosive. All right. What are your thoughts on it? Did you get to see much of this testimony yesterday? Give us your thoughts at 312-981-7200. We're back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're talking about yesterday, everything that happened with and around Michael Cohen. I knew as soon as we started this conversation, somebody, I actually gave it a minute. It took less than a minute for somebody to put this. It's amazing. You can't make any kind of a comment about what's going on politically without somebody saying, oh, what about Hillary? What about Bill Clinton? Try making an argument without mentioning the Clintons.
Were they there?
Try. They were not there. Was President Clinton's abuse, this is from 630, was President Clinton's abuse of an intern good for the country? No.
Terrible.
His wife called this young girl a whore, but that was just sex, question mark. But you are not screaming for his head. No, that's correct. I'm not spending any time today calling for Bill Clinton's head.
You should have gotten his head before.
I don't want it.
He was impeached.
He was impeached.
Although that confuses me, too, because he was impeached legally, but remained in office.
But this president, you do, correct. These people are all cut from the same cloth. There's something to that. None are good for America. I don't know how you can compare Bill Clinton having an affair with Monica Lewinsky. Was it good for the country? Absolutely not. It was horrible.
It was an embarrassment.
But it pales into every kind of comparison with what's going on with Donald Trump. It's not even close.
Tlaib was calling calling what he did as racist, not that he was a racist.
Correct.
And then there's some video, too. That Meadows guy is on tape talking about sending Obama back to Kenya. He doesn't seem that racist.
No, but he did say that.
He did.
I've heard that as well. There was tape about that earlier.
Wow.
You got to come forth with the truth at some point and leave your party behind, don't you?
When will that be?
I don't know. Steve, you said you envision things getting better, but I don't know how they can get better. I just feel like they're going to be more divided and worse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to think, imply things were going to get better. I just liked that.
I don't think they'll ever get better.
I don't know what has to happen
screwed.
For things. Well, yes. I don't know what has to happen for there to be a wake-up call where we all need to figure that out. It seems to be becoming harder and harder for that to be a reality for some reason.
I'm not picking a side because, you know what, I'll be the first person to admit if Donald Trump does something great, I will, you know, put my foot in my mouth and say, you know what, hey, he did something great. I'm not ready to say that yet. We have to worry about our future, our kids, our grandkids.
Right.
You know, I know there are people that get mad when I say I'm embarrassed to be an American, and I am sometimes. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break.
I'm embarrassed to be me, too. I should point that out.
As a side note, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Wendy, look who's here.
The excitable boy.
The excitable boy himself, David Hochberg, is here. I was watching the Blackhawks game last night, and
I was
thinking about you. It was a great game.
Great game.
What do you think's going to happen the rest of the way?
It's going to be 18 or 19 games left. We're going to be on the corners of our seat. We're going to have great rides, and we're going to be very high highs and very low lows. And you know, listen, I like the second half of the season more than I did the first half of the season. You could actually sit there, and they've got a chance of winning. So it as much as I didn't like to see Coach Q leave, I think we talked about it on the show.
We have, yeah.
I had no say in his firing, and I have no say in the hiring of Colleton as a coach now. I just want to see good hockey, and it's finally coming together.
We've been seeing a lot of it the last couple
of weeks. It's been fun. It's been a great it's been a great month stretch here since the beginning of the year. They've been playing great hockey. It's been exciting. Even when they lose, it's been exciting. I was at the game with Robbie Gold. I brought Robbie. He's a buddy of mine. We went to the Team Hochberg
Suite.
Listen
to him.
No.
He's a buddy of mine.
With his family.
The Bears don't want him, but I still got his back.
Well, no, the Bears do want him. They just can't have him.
Right. A lot of people want him. Me, for my football team as well. But, we don't
team
kick.
Hochberg.
I just want Robbie there. And, they lost to the Avalanche, but it was an exciting game. They were down 3-0. They came back 3-3, and they lost it 4-3. But, at least there was a game there to watch. When they were down 3-0 in the past, it'd be like 6-1. You'd be like, great.
That's bad.
It was horrible, right? You could only eat so many hot dogs.
Right.
And I was listening to, I don't think it was the last one, it might have been two ago, and they came out of the game with Excitable Boy, John was getting all excited about it.
Sure.
Oh, a little Warren Zevon, I am an Excitable Boy, so I thought of you, David.
How about that? All right, I know you did. You probably didn't come here to talk about hockey.
No, we're giving money away. We're going to pay people's mortgage payment, Team Hochberg, but we'll talk about that after the break. I really want to talk about... how two of your listeners who called, one was a Marine, or he served, called up another advertiser on the radio. He had horrible credit. He was credit challenged, so he called us, which he should have done in the first place. We kicked him over to our credit enhancement expert by the name of Gary Novell. We have a special with Gary. It's $350 for individuals, $600 for couples if you're credit challenged. Gary will enhance your credit. Then you come back to Team Hochberg. We will credit that fee back to you in a closing cost credit. So
it's a win-win.
Yeah, you make an investment in yourself, and then it shows that you're serious. Gary will scrape off all the barnacles, get you in position to finance a new home. This guy wants to use his VA and eligibility that he earned while serving in the Marines. So that's one great story. So thank you, WGN listeners. And another one was a gentleman called. He had his wife just gave birth to their first child, baby girl.
How exciting,
right? He had about $30,000, approaching $30,000 with a credit card debt, which is typical for your listeners, which is about $1,200 a month. He had a great rate of 3.75 or 3.875 on a 30-year fixed loan for like $240,000. And he was calling around to get quotes. I'm like, why are you looking to refinance your first loan? Why don't you just take out a second loan? You only need 30 G's. So long story short, we hooked him up with our team at Republic Bank, who they are in the process of throwing on a line of credit against his house up to 90%, pulling out $30,000 because he lived in a $300,000 home. And he's going to pay off all of his credit card debt, save himself about $1,200 a month.
Jeez.
Just paying off his debt. Okay, because there is a payment on the 30. There is a mortgage payment on the 30 that you're borrowing, but it's $1,200 less or $1,300 less, whatever it is, than what he was paying on the credit card debt. So he could take that money to pay down the home equity line of credit. Or I have three girls. I remember those days of having a baby. You've got twins, right? Running to Target, butt paste, diapers, and wipes.
Me,
butt wipes.
Oh,
well, right, God. Butt wipes, diapers, and butt cream. That was for you. And then you picked some up, and then you went to
later.
The baby section for the baby stuff. So, you're running back and forth. You always need a couple $100 when you have babies for something.
Yeah.
And this frees up a ton of money, so thank you, WGN
listeners.
Did
he have to put the baby up as collateral, David?
Not at all. You found
a way around
that.
No,
he had to put his wife up for collateral.
That's
better. Yeah, that's fine. She'd still got...
careful. Be very careful.
So let's get back to helping your WGN listeners.
Yes.
So we helped out a Marine enhance his credit so him and his wife could use their VA eligibility.
And a new father.
And a new father and a new mother with a new baby.
Yes.
Pay off $30,000 with credit card debt. We did not do that person's loan. Right. Other people were talking to him. Other lenders out there were talking to him about refinancing out of his 3.75 or 8.75% loan. I'm like, you're out of your mind. You can't leave that loan. That's a great loan.
The price is too good.
It's too good.
You wouldn't beat the price.
Right. Why would you want to take out $30,000 when you could take out $30,000 on a home equity line of credit because he had really good credit and leave your mortgage alone instead of a loan alone? So there's an example how when you call, if it's not in your best interest, we're not going to do anything. So, that's a service we offer. We're also going to be paying. We're having a sweepstakes. We have to call it a sweepstakes. It's not a contest, according to the attorneys. It's called a sweepstakes.
Okay.
Anybody can enter, right? So here's the deal. I set up a website. It's 56DavidWin, number 5, number 6, DAVIDWIN. You go there. It's free. Anybody could register. The entire state of Illinois, the entire state of Michigan, the entire state of Indiana, the entire state of Wisconsin, and the entire state of Iowa. You go there and you put your information in. You have to be a minimum 21 years old. So mm-hmm. so there's a birthday template, you know, field there. Mm-hmm. You have to have a primary residence in one of those states, and we're going to pay the principal and interest payment on your mortgage if you're selected, up to $2,500. And there's 3-4 pages of flipping rules that the attorneys wrote, but and you can see all the rules and regulations there. We're going to pick it. I have a radio show on another station on Saturdays, and at the last Saturday of the month on my show,
yes.
we're going to pick a winner, and then we're going to bring out one of those gigantic goofy checks, and we're going to do
big checks.
Oh, the big checks with
people love the big checks.
Everything, but like without Ed McMahon,
right?
Well, and the van. Well, he's right. It'll be
gone.
Tough to get Ed.
He's
would,
gone.
Right. Well, that right. Yeah, it'll right. be difficult unless you can find somebody by the name of Ed McMahon to.
Oh,
come
that would
him.
Even be better.
That'd be better. Right.
So the winner will be chosen 100% at random. Their names will just be
100% random.
And what do they get?
They get a free mortgage payment. So whatever your principal and interest payment is. Right.
Yes.
Whatever your principal and interest payment is,
regardless of the price, it can be extremely high. It can be extremely low.
You can live in a $3 million house, have a $1 million mortgage. We're going to go up to $2,500 is the cap.
Oh, okay.
And we're only doing the first mortgage payment, principal and interest. If there's an interest only loan, we're only paying the interest only. If you have a home equity line of credit and first lien position,
yes,
we're just paying the first lien position.
This
payment.
Sounds like a contest, David.
It's not a contest. It's a sweepstakes.
It sounds like a contest.
Well,
but it's
stop
a sweepstakes.
Talking about
it's
it because you know, I got enough attorneys.
All right,
after
it's a sweepstakes.
Already,
let's go with sweepstakes.
It's a sweepstakes for the love
okay.
of God.
Okay, right.
so
that's fine.
It's free. It's free. Anybody, you don't have to do a mortgage with us, right? You
it just can't go, be free.
Can I register?
Can
of
Wendy register?
Can. Yes.
For your sweepstakes?
You can, yes. Wendy, you, Bill, not so much.
I can't
but yes.
be in it.
No, but anybody can. Anybody can. You go to 56DavidWin and register. It's free.
Okay.
Now, you just enter once because we're doing it for the entire year.
Yes.
Okay, so up until the December winner is the last selected winner of this year.
Yeah.
And if it's a huge success, which I think it's going
it's
to
be big. We're
going to continue it next year, but we'll start the collection of the data all over again. So
okay.
if you enter in today, you're good through the end of the year because it's only one entry per person.
Okay.
So don't submit 400 of them for the love of God.
Because then you'll one. Be disqualified.
Right. We're just going to bounce them out of the spreadsheet. So,
right.
you know, we're going to alphabetize it. And if there's 17 George McGillicuddy's on 123 Happy Meal Lane, we're only going
to
take the first one and blow the other 399.
What
town is Happy Meal Lane in?
Oh, that's great. They have great fries.
I would love to
right.
go there.
And, right.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great sweepstakes, Wendy.
It's a
sounds like a contest, but it's not. It's a sweepstakes.
It's a sweepstakes.
All right. Well, good. Well, good.
Yes.
I'm glad you're
I'm
doing this.
I'm very happy.
You should be. All right. We'll take a break, and then more of the excitable boy, David Hochberg, right
messages.
After this.
Oh, this is too mellow for one David Hochberg. I'm telling you, he's vice president of lending at Team Hochberg, all encompassed by Homeside Financial, 855-56-DAVID. During those live reads, I refuse to give the numerical thing because the whole thing is 855-56-DAVID.
Yeah.
It's just easier to remember.
It's
56David.com.
Right. As long as you type in the number 5 and the number 6, you're fine. Right.
What about your NMLS number? Is that
136675?
Great number.
Yeah, it's
great. What a great
it just
number.
Just flows right off your mouth.
Joe has called us, and he has a question. Joe, you have a mortgage question?
Yeah, in about a month or two, I'm about to pay off a mortgage, and I want to know if there's a checklist or something to make sure everything goes smoothly with it, and I'm not sure what I'll say. If I'll
first
add
of all,
that,
can I just say congratulations, Joe? You're paying off your mortgage. I will never do that.
Yeah.
Good
not
job.
Many people. Well, congratulations, Joe. That's fantastic. Where do you live?
Hey, McHenry.
McHenry County. Okay, do you? How much is your home worth in McHenry?
It's probably about $225 right now.
Okay, and you like Jack Frank's dropping your real estate taxes out there? Nice guy.
Yeah, I like Jack.
Yeah, Jack's a good guy. Wish he moved to Cook County.
Oh my God, yes,
president.
My
really
property
nice.
Tax went up again.
Yeah. So all you people in Chicago wanting to vote
God.
For Tony Preckwinkle, look at your tax bill. And see
all
what
right, get back
here.
To Joe.
All right, so Joe, is it Joe? Joe. So here's what I would do. Is it a big bank? Is it a local bank? I mean, or is it?
It's a big bank.
All right. I mean, is it like a Chase or Wells Fargo where you could go in?
You hit it on the head. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So just to make sure, right, do you bank at Chase or do you bank at Wells Fargo? I mean, do you bank at the bank? Again, I did the two words together. Do you bank at your mortgage holder's facility or no?
No, I don't do any banking there. That's just where the loan is.
That's just where the loan is. Okay, so if you're concerned about it, right? And how much is your mortgage payment? $800, $900, $1,000, $1,100?
Yeah, about, like around $1,000. That includes taxes and all.
Okay, so what I would do is this. Number one, if you want to make sure, I would go into the bank on the last payment, right? Stop in and say, hey, you've got this mortgage. What's my last payment to pay the loan off? Go to your bank, get the cash, go to the bank that's got the mortgage, and pay it off, okay? And what will happen is you'll get a receipt showing that you have a zero balance. They're sitting with a ton of money in your escrow account, right? Because they're getting ready to pay your taxes in June and August. So whatever's in your escrow account, that's going to come back to you in the form of a check, and you'll have to put that into a separate account. Now, what I would strongly advise you to do, it's great to have a mortgage-free home, but if you have that, oh, my God, God forbid moment, like my mother used to say 7,000 times a year because we were, I was Jewish, and that's what we said, God forbid all the time, I would go and get a line of credit at Republic Bank. I could hook you up with our guy at Republic Bank, Joe. And he could put a line of credit against your house for an emergency reason. God forbid something happens, right? So if the furnace goes or the hot water tank goes, you need an $800 to $1,000 for the hot water tank. If the furnace goes, you need a new HVAC for 3 to 5 G's. If you need foundation work or permaseal or something, that could be anywhere from $3,000 to $30,000, depending upon how exorbitant the work is. Always have that line of credit against a paid off house. Especially if you're working, especially if you have a good credit, especially when you don't need it. So it's there when you don't. It's there when you need it. So you take it when you don't need it. So it's there when you need it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't know what bank it is. I mean, I got it through quite a while ago. I don't know if it wasn't actually like an outlet bank, like one of the little Chase branches. So I guess I could find out where.
Yeah, find out where. Yeah, here's what I would do. Find out where your banking is, right? You're going to get a statement, right? So call up the 800 number. Find out if there's a local facility here in the Chicagoland area that you could walk into and pay the last payment just so you know it's been paid. If not, then what I would do is I'd get a payoff amount and wire the money there and just to make sure that they have it. I mean, any overage that you send in will be sent back to you and you'll get a letter. Congratulations, you paid off your mortgage. And really, there's nothing you have to do other than just continue making the payment until it's gone. And when it is, call me and I'll hook you up with Joe over at Republic Bank for a line of credit for an emergency shoot.
Good luck to you, Joe. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe.
Is there a deed or something you're supposed to pick up or deed or anything like that?
Yeah, you're going to get a release of mortgage after the mortgage is paid off from the lender after they record it at the county after it's recorded to show that there's no mortgage against your house.
Good luck, Joe.
Okay, because that enough that's something you're supposed to put in a safe deposit box.
No, I would just keep it in a safe place, safe deposit box if you have it. But you could always pull the title on your home just to prove that there's no mortgage on it.
Got to run, Joe.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Rewind for just a second. You said most people end up never paying off their mortgages. I don't doubt that for a second, but that's sad.
Why is it sad? It's
you don't think
leverage.
That's it?
That's why America was built on.
I know, but...
What are you, a communist?
But,
I mean,
no,
what,
I'm not a communist. Well, no, yeah, I'm not. I'm not. But don't you think most people's intention when they're house hunting is they envision this future by which there's a day where the house is paid off?
Sure, one day I envision myself getting to a pair of 34-inch pants. That hasn't happened
Some
since... that hasn't happened
I already
since
know I'll never pay mine off.
You know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Come on. Who's going to pay? Listen, it's a great thought process,
yeah.
Right? Then you have a kid. Boom! Okay, there's 20, 30 G's a year right there. God knows what, medical, and you take them to the doctor every time. There's a $50 copay.
Yeah.
You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. You got to educate them.
You're supposed to.
But I've heard you ask people when they're in the market to refinance, is how long do you plan on staying in the house?
Right.
And I always think most people in their head go, well, I want to stay there for the rest of my life, but that's not how it plays out.
You just got to stop getting into people's heads because maybe that's your challenge. So most people live in a house 5 to 7 years. That's the normal industry.
That's the average.
That's the normal industry average. Now, some people, right? Because listen, I bought my first condo, 2800 North Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. Right? I was in it for 3 years. Got married. I moved to Valparaiso. I was in that for 3 years. Got divorced. Moved back to 2800 North Lakeshore Drive. I was there for 3 years. Sold it. Moved to Northbrook. I'm in my house that I'm in now since 2001.
Yeah.
So I've been there for a good 16, 17, 18 years. Right? So I've been there 2000. 2002, whenever the hell it was. So I've been there a good time period.
Yeah.
But if you add up 333 plus 16 it's divided like
a pinball
by 4,
machine.
Right, it's like 7 years. You know, is the average.
Yeah,
exactly.
We want to have your next door neighbors on at some point.
You should.
I'd like to meet them.
Yeah, they're in Florida 10 months out of the year, driving bananas.
We've been in our house 20 years.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Okay, but most people,
right?
So I've got
and
a lady.
And work might relocate you.
Sure.
I mean, there are
there's so many
things.
Factors.
I've got a lady right now, WGN listener, okay? She has a great loan, 4.5%. She took out $79,000 student loan and a $29,000 student loan.
Yeah.
So rounded up, she's got 100 G's in student loans. Okay, the student loans are suffocating her. We basically took the student loans, rolled it into her mortgage because it was less expensive. We freed up $1,200 to $1,200,
right,
just rolling her student loans in. So her intention was, she's 60-some years old right now. So I'm sure when she moved into her house 20, 30 years ago that her intention was to move. I don't think she planned on spending $100,000 to send her kid to college.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But thank God she's got the equity in her North Shore home that she could take that 100 G's and roll it into her mortgage and lower her monthly payment over $1,000 a month. So, you know, some people are like, oh, you shouldn't use your home as a piggy bank. You know what? Live your life the way you want to live your life.
You do what you need to do to continue living.
Right, that's why Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors. You know, one flavor for every day of the month. Some people like nuts in their ice cream, like you. I personally don't like nuts in my ice cream. So, but you know, it's a personal preference. So, you know, for one guy here, Tony, Joe wants to pay his loan off. God bless him.
Right.
You know, there's other people that need that equity in their home to pay off some other stuff to keep their payments down.
I'd like both. I'd like to pay off my home and get money.
And get nuts in the ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah. David,
right.
Just between me and you, is it a contest or is it a sweepstakes?
It's a sweepstakes.
It is a sweepstakes.
Very
in your
quickly
head, it's
here,
a contest.
You can register to get 1 month of your mortgage paid.
It doesn't matter.
Up to $2,500.
If you live in Illinois, if you live in Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, or Iowa, doesn't matter. Primary residence, least 21 years old, go to 56davidwynn.com. And it could be your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors. It might not be you. You might be renting. I talked to a guy today. He's like, well, I rent. I live in L.A. I go, I'm sorry. I'm happy you live in L.A., but you don't live here and you don't own a home here. You don't qualify. It's not that deep. Okay? So if you live,
God forbid,
if you live in a home in Illinois, it's your primary residence, go to 56davidwynn.com. It's free. We're going to pick
good
one
luck.
Winner a month. Good luck, everybody.
David, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been exciting and great.
go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Yeah,
all
go
right.
Hawks.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Mama, that's it.
Well, part of this is true. The dancing part is certainly true. I don't know about the fool part. Coleman Balow joins us right now. He was not famous until Tuesday night, and then he became an international sensation.
International
sensation. Coleman, first of all, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks
I'm
for
so
having
glad
me.
You came
I love
on
you guys.
Notice.
I love your show. I love Chicago, so this
very
is
nice.
Awesome.
You're
thank
very
you.
Nice.
Everybody has posted video of Eric Rung doing the reporting election night at Lori Lightfoot's campaign headquarters.
Yes.
Robin Baumgarten, they were playing it on the WGN-TV news yesterday. Eric's sitting there standing there doing his report, and there's a dancing dude behind him in a Lori Lightfoot t-shirt and a baseball cap. Would you know him?
I mean, maybe if I saw some of his dance moves.
Then you'd recognize him.
I mean, it was such a great night. I'm surprised there weren't more people dancing.
Right.
Everyone should have been dancing.
So you work on Lori Lightfoot's campaign, correct?
I volunteer for Lori.
Oh, you do?
And speaking of which, I brought you guys a Lori Lightfoot button.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Just a little
volunteer in what capacity,
swag.
Coleman? What do you do?
So I started, there you go. I started in October.
Yes.
And the first thing I started doing was collecting signatures from total strangers on the street. You know, I'm just a crazy person with a clipboard being like, hey, do you know anything about the mayor race coming up in February? No one knew anything. No one had heard of Lori. Hmm. Some people had, obviously, but that was round one, is just getting people aware and getting her name on the ballot.
Yeah.
you know, and you need 12,500 signatures.
And on Tuesday night, going into Tuesday night, her name, like most polls had her around fourth or fifth.
Right.
Very few had her as the leader. What was going on there as the night progressed and it became apparent she was going to win this thing?
I mean, we went in and I don't think anyone really knew what to expect at all. We were hopeful. We were excited. The polls had, over the last couple days, she had been performing better and better and higher.
Yeah.
And so when the first numbers started coming in, I remember there was this sort of, you know, everyone's kind of waiting around and WGN was playing on the TV. And then they released the first polls and she was at 17%. I started screaming like a crazy person. I couldn't believe it. We were all just so excited. I said, everyone, look. And, you know, there's her name on top, number one. And I'm like, and that to me, it was kind of like this inspirational.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have a chance.
Happen,
I think this can happen.
What makes you want to volunteer with a particular candidate? What drew you to Lori Lightfoot?
Sure. I mean, the field was very large, right? Now it's down to Lori Lightfoot and Preckwinkle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it was, I didn't know a lot about all of them, but just, you know, from looking at her experience, some of her progressive values, she's independent. She's openly LGBTQ, which is very important to me personally. That was something I could put myself behind. And the more you listen to her, the more that you hear what she has to say. She's smart. She's kind. She's genuine. And these are all things that, to me, resonate very strongly.
Coleman, that night, as she was making her speech, she was talking about the fact that she's had a brother who's been incarcerated, that her dad was incarcerated at some point.
Yeah.
There was a time where you would almost suggest to a candidate, hey, leave that part out. People don't want to hear that kind of thing. But no, I think that works for her, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, these are real people with real problems, and that's, you know, let's face it, Chicago is ready for a change. We have real people with real issues that need to be addressed. And I like that about her. She comes from a background that, you know, has given her a lot of really good experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
Have you been politically motivated to volunteer for someone in the past?
I mean, I think we all have kind of awoken.
I've had no interest.
No.
Not to. I don't know why.
I mean, I think since the last, you know, presidential election, it's kind of really shaken a lot of things up, right?
Sure.
Without delving into it.
Yeah.
I want to do something. And I felt like here's an opportunity for me to start doing something as if it's me just on a street corner screaming at strangers, hey, come let me talk to you about mayor of Chicago. It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
So that for me, I think everyone should, you know, whether you want to or not to, it's a great idea. You have an opportunity to start locally in your neighborhood, in your community, and, you know, your word goes far.
Tell me about her that night. Like I said, most polls had her at about fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing any that had her as the leader as she ended up being. What was her demeanor as the night went on and the numbers got bigger for her?
I mean, I didn't see her
until
she came up on stage because I was just kind of like, you know, with some friends and chatting. I think she was kind of in the back prepared. I think everyone was like, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think she was kind of like preparing for whatever she was going to say.
Yeah.
And then when she came out, the room just
erupted.
It's so funny that people keep saying she snuck up on Bill Daley and Preckwinkle, and I say, a woman named Lightfoot snuck up on other candidates. That makes sense to me.
And this is kind of like genuine, impactful, kind of serendipitous feeling about all of this. It's like, how was this even possible a month ago?
Right.
And I think everyone
sure didn't
said
seem
no.
like
right.
it. It didn't.
All right, now let's get to the reason that you're here.
Yes,
and that is the dancing.
I love to dance.
All right, evidently,
so what happened that made you say, I don't just love to dance. I need to dance, and I need to dance now on TV. What happened
then? Well, I mean, you had all these cameras here. And, you know, I studied film in college, and I'm like, all these cameras here, there's this empty area. Something needs to be going on there. They were playing music. I'm like, I'm just going to do a little dance.
Yeah.
Because this feels good, and it feels right. And if you watch the video, I'm, like, genuinely smiling.
Oh, yeah. You're into it.
I mean, I can't remember a time in the last couple of years I felt so happy. And, I mean,
Can't we all be like that?
Why can't we all dance a little bit more, Bill? I don't know. But
did anyone suggest to you, did anyone say, Coleman, the TVs are on you. Could you dance over there?
God, no.
You knew
over
they
there?
Were on.
I knew they were on. Of course I knew that. All the lights, you know.
For people who didn't see it, could you describe the mode of dance that you chose?
It's kind of like There's a couple of moves I like to throw at a classic Coleman move. There's the shimmy.
I saw that part.
There's the pointing.
Yep.
Which I learned from. So when I worked, we used to do these like weekend events, and every Saturday we would have a DJ. And my boss, like, if you're not talking to a client, make sure you're dancing. Keep everyone entertained. Yeah. And be like, I'll dance all night long. This is great. And I mean, I have a great record collection. A lot of my friends are very musical. I have zero musical talent.
Yeah.
So I can dance at their shows. By the way, they have a new band. I promised I'd plug them. It's called Weather.
Yeah.
Like Weather, the weather will be good today.
Yeah.
And they have a digital album. You can Google
it. That's
Chicago
very nice of
band.
You.
Yes.
Spelled Wheather, then Wea.
Ther.
Weather, weather.
And then they're on Instagram and they have a free digital album. So.
Cool. You're
see me at the show dancing.
You're doing like the slow old man jog too, that an old man wants you to think they're hurrying it up. You know, I mean, how dads do
sure.
that.
You got to throw your arms into it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I see people dancing, it's just the shoulder bop.
Yeah.
I'm like, wave your arms around a little bit. You know, you got to do the tentacle.
Now, at first, I thought it was a fertility dance, but I am incorrect on that.
Some
correct?
People have said.
Yeah, others have thought that same thing.
That it's been successful.
Well, as I'm watching, I go, somebody's going to just, I didn't know it was you. I didn't know who it was. Somebody's going to tap him on the shoulder and say, you can't do this. We're doing TV. Oh. But nobody did that.
You can't stop me from dancing.
If it's in you, it's in you.
And the other dude in the suit who comes by and looks into the camera like, yeah.
Inspiration.
How you
right?
doing?
It's magic.
Did you hear from people that you hadn't heard from in a long time who saw you on TV?
Yeah, it was funny. You know, someone was like, were you just dancing on the news? I'm like, probably. I'm at Lori Lightfoot's event, you know? And then, I don't know if it's an international sensation, but it seems to, you know what? I'm happy that it brings people a smile.
If you really got a call to be on Dancing with the Stars, would you take them up on their offer or would you say no?
Gosh, I don't know.
You're not sure?
I mean, I'm more just like a one-man sort of
more freeform
jiggle party.
Yeah, all right.
Now, have you met Lori Lightfoot and one-on-one and talked to her?
Oh,
yeah, okay,
absolutely.
I was going to say, we should do something to get you
to
two together.
Up, yeah.
I love Lori. I could hear, and again, like, I'll jump back to it. I can talk to her and she'll talk to me like I'm a real human being. You're not like pulling a cord on a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like that when she speaks publicly, whether you're speaking publicly or one-on-one.
Or one-on-one.
She's very, very down-to-earth, genuine, and smart.
Yeah,
you
good.
Know, very smart.
All attributes we could use in a mayor here.
I think so.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So what do you do now? The runoff is April 2nd, I believe.
I know.
Are you going to dance around with flyers?
There's a lot more dancing coming up.
To dance off. It's not a runoff.
I don't think I can stop dancing, right? I think that
what
that's
if Preckwinkle takes their best dancer and puts him or her up against you? What do we do?
I'm willing to challenge Preckwinkle's top dancer to a dance-off.
You heard it here first.
Here
I like the sound of that.
I will dance all night for Lori.
That's
Lightfoot.
Excellent.
Coming up is a concert for the Swedish pop star Robin.
Yeah.
And that's Wednesday, so I will be dancing there all night.
Oh.
With the who's who of Chicago Gaydom and all their flame dames. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Flame dame. I never heard that.
It's the more, politically correct.
Coleman, can you stick around for a minute? Because you had a job, you're no longer doing this job, but
right.
a fascinating job that I think most people have heard about but don't know too much about. Can we talk about that?
Sure,
just a little bit?
I'm happy
right.
to talk about
That's
that.
Coming your way next with us, with Bill and Wendy.
Someone you should know. That's what we've got going on.
Yeah. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Coleman Bailo. Internationally known, famous dancer. You saw him on television the other night at Lori Lightfoot's campaign party, dancing behind Eric Rung, who, by the way, we had on yesterday. Wendy and I were talking to Eric.
Yeah.
He thought it was hysterical. He's had incidents where he's been out on the street reporting on a story, and there have been things like that going on in the background, but that one he particularly enjoyed.
I mean, how has no one been dancing behind the newscaster
right.
in the news before?
It needs to be a thing.
This absolutely.
Not on the street behind, a
tragedy.
Sad story.
Tragedy,
but
no dancing.
For this was just a bright spot in everybody's night.
Everyone needs a little dancing to cheer themselves
so
up sometimes.
What
so
happens
true.
If you don't dance? Bill and I are not dancers.
I don't know. I think the sun just doesn't rise the next thing. You know, you gotta dance to bring up the sunshine.
So true. You had a job.
Does it say that on your bumper sticker?
Yeah, my bumper sticker. I have two bumper stickers that say that. You had a job that I've always found intriguing, but I don't think many people know much about it. You were an auctioneer, but not just a regular auctioneer. You were an auctioneer on a cruise ship.
Yes.
How does that play out?
So I worked for a company, a gallery, for 10 years. the first four of which were on the cruise ships, and we would outfit art galleries on the ships, and we would host art auctions, and that's where I started. And then the last six, I you know, kind of moved up in the company a little bit, and I would do VIP events and hiring and training for them. So, yeah, I mean, as an auctioneer, you got to get the jive down. You got to get that ramble.
So you can do, we always see it in movies on TV shows where there's an auctioneer and they talk really, really, really fast.
I knew you were going to ask
me that ability.
Is that a little, I'm rusty.
You're not good at it?
I'm terrible at it, but I can give it a shot.
All right.
Do just a little bit.
All right. We got a bit coming up here at $10. Looking at $10. Got 10 now here. We're going to take it to 15. Got $15. Looking at 15 in the room. Got $15 with Wendy. We're going to take it now to 20. 20 in the room. We got $20. We got 20 with Bill. Now we're going to 30. $30 in the room. Going once, twice. Fair and final warning. I think Bill won it. Let's give him a round
that's
of applause.
Really
I only have $20, but that's amazing. That's pretty darn good, and you're out of practice, and you still pull that off.
Maybe I tried it in the shower this morning.
Just to prepare yourself.
Just in case.
Yeah. Sarah Tiemann from the promotions department came in. She just wanted to meet you. Are you getting people that are recognizing you?
I mean, I was just dancing.
But you, honestly, it was a bright spot in all this crap that's going on.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. Hopefully more people will be dancing, right? Hopefully we all have a reason to dance.
Can I ask you the dumbest question that anyone will ever ask you?
I can't wait.
If Lori Lightfoot would not have made the top two, would you have still done this in a sad dance mode? Did you have like a happy dance and a sad dance ready?
I probably would have had like a sorrowful, expressionistic, interpretive dance to show.
I'm glad that she won, but I almost wish I could see that dance just so I know what it would have looked
like. Right
now, let's see just a little
bit
of it.
It'd be a lot of like arms
it
up
looks
in the
very
air,
sad.
Full
yeah, that wouldn't
sort
work
of,
at all.
No.
This is these are a few texts. 773, Lori Lightfoot dancing guy is a national treasure, maybe not international.
Not yet.
I'll take it.
This is a delightful interview, so refreshing. Keep going. How can I find the video of Coleman and regarding Lightfoot? We have it on our Facebook page. It's Robin Baumgarten put it there.
It's
on our Twitter page.
We got to retweet that, I guess.
Instagram. We've got it on all our social.
Send it to the president.
But now you... That would fix things, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we've got to get them dancing a little
Now, will you plan ahead now? Because now in a couple months we have this second election.
Uh-huh.
Will you pick a new dance to do?
No,
you
it's going to be a natural
dance.
Sort of flow. I don't plan anything. I just get, I mean,
let
you
it happen.
Feel the music. This is how dancing should be, you know, free form.
I like that.
Yeah.
708, we did ask about this, the other dude that walked into the shot and just kind of looked in the camera. Do you know him? Did you meet him?
We had met just then. He's like, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to give a nod. I'm like, you do you, man. Absolutely. You know, and he makes it even better, in my opinion. You know, he can be my, sidekick
a backup
or
dancer
whatever.
Or
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Gosh. You know what? There's going to be a lot of work for Lori, and I'm happy to throw my hat in the ring.
And you're still doing this on a volunteer basis.
Totally
you're not,
volunteer basis. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, I'm currently not working.
Oh.
So, you know.
I was going to ask this question. I didn't know if this was too delicate.
No,
like
go
about
ahead.
Going back to work on Wednesday after staying up and dancing the night away on Tuesday. But you're not currently working, so that was not a factor.
No. Tuesday was all about.
What kind of work are you?
Yeah, what's
are you
your
looking
specialty?
For something?
I mean, I was in sales. I like working with people and clients. So if anyone needs like a sales team leader out
there. How can they get you? What do they need to do?
Search Coleman Balogh, Baloghh.
You're easy to find.
ColeBalogh at Gmail.
Good. I hope you get something.
Don't give your number.
Oh, not my number.
Yeah.
Email is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And social media, your Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, and my picture is me holding up a sign screaming for Lori. Lots of I was on the also on the cover photo of a Sun Times article.
Were you
holding up a sign and screaming? I'm the gay white male face of Lori Lightfoot's campaign.
That's excellent.
So.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I was so happy for you. Honestly, I'm watching, and that was such an interesting night as they bounced around from headquarters to headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And when I saw you, I went, this is what the night should be. It was somebody so genuinely happy that the person they wanted
Thank
to
you.
Win won.
Yeah.
It gave me new hope.
I mean, I think that's the key word. Like, there's been a feeling of hope that's been growing.
And right.
It started in October, you know, when I was like, you know, can we talk about Lori? I have genuine good things to talk about. And it's been growing and snowballing. And who would have thought I'd be sitting here in your studio on the radio, for crying out loud? This is amazing. So kudos to her. Good job, Lori.
That's so true. And I'm going to ask you one more favor.
Yeah.
We're going to break for a commercial.
Okay.
But Wendy, I would like for you and Wendy to take a picture, and I want to stand behind you guys and dance while you do that. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Right. Are we going to be dancing too?
No. I'm not dancing. Two, he is not going to dance. He's going to stand behind us as you
dancing. It's a still photograph.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Give your name again and spell it for people who want to find you on social.
My name's Coleman Balo. Balo rhymes with halo, like the Beyonce song. C-O-L-E. Coleman Baloch.
And people, contact Coleman if you are interested
in
maybe
hiring him. If you have an event and you want him to dance behind you.
I'm happy to go dance in your company and bring some cheer
some
into your woeful world in corporate America.
Coleman, thanks so much.
Thank you, you're a blast. You guys are awesome.
Oh, you're cool.
And we will probably talk to you again if Lori Lightfoot wins in April.
I literally talk for a living, so I am willing to talk to you guys as much as you want.
Oh, perfect. Good. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
We'll take a break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
He's Dean.
Hi, Dean. Oh, he's playing hard to get.
I got him.
Hold on a second.
I got him on.
Press a button. Dean, are you there?
Deanie, can you hear me?
We'll find him.
Where?
He's out there
is
somewhere.
Is he hiding?
He's somewhere within the city limits, Wendy. We'll find him. We'll put out an APB.
Do you know what that stands for?
We'll put out an APD. Points Dean.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll find him.
I asked if we got it set up. It says Dean Television Station. This is the particular place.
I have a feeling that because he's going to be reviewing the Madea funeral movie, that he's sad right now, and he might not be ready to talk to us. This is going to be the last appearance of Madea on film, Wendy. It's a very sad moment.
Do you believe that?
I do believe it.
Character is going to rest.
Apparently, and I hope I'm not giving too much away, but I saw a little bit of Taylor Perry last night on a talk show. The funeral is not Madea's funeral. It's somebody close to her's funeral, but she attends it. But he says, Tyler Perry says, he has played the role out. It's time to move on to other things. He seems genuine. It's not like Cher who goes, I'm done with the traveling. I can't take the sequins anymore. But
God, she looks hot, though.
Yeah.
So Tyler Perry, I forgot, and actually I didn't even realize that you pointed out he was in Vice and was really amazing as Colin Powell.
He plays Colin Powell, and he's so good.
So has he done serious roles before?
Yeah, every once in a while he'll do something like that. He'll pop up, and he also has produced a couple of movies that are really, really good. But the Madea franchise, it baffles me. It does so well. People just love these movies, and I can't sit through one. I've tried twice to sit through it, and I just can't do it. It just doesn't work for me.
You don't like to laugh.
Right. If it's funny, I want no part of it. I've never been 100% on board with, look, a man's dressed like a woman. Isn't that hysterical?
Although we laughed at it with Monty Python.
I have laughed at it at times when it's still, like, all right, so Monty Python did it. Kids in the Hall did it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, if the writing is still funny, like those two old Monty Python women who've got the penguin on the telly, that's funny. If it's men as dressed as women or if it's women dressed as women, that's just funny, right?
Yeah.
But when the whole joke is just, like, I guess it started in the beginning of time, but it started becoming a national thing with Milton Berle.
Oh, yeah.
Where all he would do
was not a pretty lady.
No. But he would just walk out on stage, and the mere fact that it was a man dressed like a woman made people hyperventilate.
I know.
They couldn't breathe. They were laughing so hard because it was a man dressed as a woman, and that was it.
Did you like Mrs. Doubtfire?
Because
I didn't.
I was okay with Mrs. Doubtfire. It's just okay. I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
But it's not funny anymore. It isn't. I guess now, it was only funny before because there wasn't much to compare it to.
But do you know what I mean? Like, there are times, I will use Dame Edna as an example.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do enjoy that a great deal, but I think it's because it's well written. I think Barry Humphries is the man who's Dame Edna. He's very funny, and the character is interesting to me. So there are times where it can work, but it's not working, for me anyway, it's not working just because it's a man dressed like a woman. There needs to be something behind it. There needs
really?
To be
you
some,
want substance?
I was hoping.
What the hell
for,
is wrong with you?
I was hoping there'd be a little bit of substance.
Yeah. Somebody said, I didn't like Tootsie either. Somebody's asking about Tootsie.
Tootsie I thought was very funny.
Mm. Tyler Perry.
You didn't think Tootsie was funny? Dustin Hoffman? No?
I guess, sort of.
Really? Oh, okay.
I don't remember it, Bill.
Go back and watch it. Well, I'll wait. Okay. I'll just stand here until you're done watching it.
Tyler Perry, excellent in 2009 Star Trek reboot, Gone Girl yeah. with Ben Affleck and Vice, yeah. which we mentioned.
He does have the ability to show up, you know, when he's not dressed like his grandma and do a really great job.
Flip Wilson and Geraldine.
That's
forgot
funny.
About that.
That was pretty funny.
Well, Flip Wilson, I could just look at and laugh.
Yeah.
He was so out there.
Right.
Some Like It Hot. I never found that movie funny. I did.
Some Like It Hot is one of the best movies of all time.
And God bless Aunt. You know my aunt named Aunt.
Aunt.
She, when Jack Lemmon was dressed up as his character, it looked like Aunt. It looked like my aunt to me.
Now, if you were to tell her that.
She's no longer with us.
But how would she react to that? That a man dressed like a woman looked exactly like her.
She would laugh and say, he does make a pretty woman. Because he made a better woman than Tony Curtis, in my opinion.
All right, so if we go back to that, to Some Like It Hot for a little bit, the premise there was, and you could say the same of Bosom Buddies with the great Tom Hanks. And the equally as great Peter Sklari, or the almost as great Peter Sklari, that was a plot device where men had to dress as women for something to have, for the movie to advance.
Right.
In Some Like It Hot, they were running from the mob. In Bosom Buddies, I think it was so that they could live in the place that they lived, right? They weren't allowed to have men live there,
yes,
and the only way they could get a room there was to pretend they were women.
It's
right?
a great backstory, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
No one will notice.
All right, so for those, that was within the context of the show or the movie, that was a plot
device,
right?
The whole point of
right?
it, yeah.
But with something like Madea, it's a guy dressed like a woman. Ta-da! I would hope there'd be more than that.
Yeah, and somebody said Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence wore it out in the late 90s.
Boy,
which
did they.
A lot of truth to that.
They sure did. Yes, they did.
All right, should we take a break and get caught up and maybe we'll have a little time with Dean?
Yes, let's try that.
What in God's name
we'll
is going
we'll
on?
We'll find him. We'll find Dean,
maybe
don't
you worry.
He
doesn't want to be found.
Maybe. Maybe. All right, stick around. More ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, several people have announced, we're trying to find Dean Richards because we do a segment with him every Thursday where Dean reviews whichever movies are coming out this weekend. And a couple of people have mentioned that they saw him, one said on Michigan Avenue, one said at a political fundraiser, and he was just in the background dancing. But I think they're messing with us.
I
don't think that's true at all. I need to make a slight amendment. We were talking about this Tyler Perry movie that's coming out where it's the last appearance of Madea on film. Which shows that if you pray for something hard enough, it'll eventually come true. Anyway, I was saying that you don't, just because it's a man dressed like a woman, that's not enough to me. I need more behind it.
More substance.
Yeah, and we were going through examples like Geraldine from Flip Wilson, like the guys from Monty
Dean
Python.
Is here now,
oh,
too.
Dean is here right now. So, Dean, we were talking about the fact that I've never been, and Wendy to some extent the same way, just the fact that it's a guy dressed up like a woman. That's not enough to make it funny. You know what I mean,
I don't
right?
criticize the way you two dress.
Thank you for that.
Feel free.
Thank you for that. But I wanted to bring
it's
up.
It's easy to find high heels of my size.
But I wanted to bring up because I brought up Monty Python and Kids in the Hall
yeah.
and Tootsie. But I saw Fred Armisen pretend that he was the Queen of England somewhere. I don't think it was Saturday Night Live. I don't remember where he did this.
It's nothing new to have.
It's been going on forever.
Guys playing women and right. vice versa, I guess. But, you know, Milton Berle practically made a career out of it.
Yeah.
But I was saying with Milton Berle, remember all he would do is walk out on stage in a dress and people would laugh uproariously.
Right.
That was it.
And that's what some people do for Tyler Perry and his Madea character that... it was, you know, really kind of got its start here in Chicago at the old Regal Theater.
Yeah.
on 79th Street. That's where the live stage show really took off. And I talked with Tyler Perry about it last week, and he says that, you know, part of the appeal of the Medea character is that, you know, it's such a relatable figure that, you know, a lot of people have that person with no filter in their life that says and does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for African-American people, often it's the grandmother character.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people have, you know, really related to it. These films, these Medea films, have been, it's created the Tyler Perry empire.
Right.
I mean, this is truly the media mogul hill on which, you know, that's built on a gray wig and a muumuu.
I know.
Which is what I hope he puts on his tombstone, by the way, when he dies.
Is this one funny? And wait, let me ask you a pre-question. Have the other ones been funny?
The other ones are not my favorite kind of comedy.
Yeah.
For my personal taste. But I appreciate how some people really find them hilariously funny.
Very diplomatic way of saying it.
There are, well, I don't think it's unfunny. I mean, it's just not for me. For a lot of people, I don't think it's awful.
Yeah.
I'm giving Medea's family funeral a Dean's List C, which is you know, neither good or bad, because I'm continuing to be diplomatic about it.
Right.
No, it's just I would give it a bad review if I thought it was a bad comedy. But I know some people, the audience that I sat with watching this, were laughing hysterically. They were falling out of their seats laughing.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you know, the best thing I can tell you is that if you like Medea, if you've liked the other movies, you're going to love this one too. You know, if it's just not your cup of tea, then it's, you know, that's okay.
Sure.
It's not the end of the world. We can all like different things.
I just saw him hinting. This was just last night. I watched him, and he said he will no longer play the character, but he could foresee an idea by which they would do a prequel with a younger actor playing Medea, or even an actress playing. That's a possibility, right?
Well, that's ridiculous, having a woman playing a woman.
No, you don't. who would sit for that?
It's ridiculous. Crazy thought.
Right.
it's a cash cow, so
yep.
Why would you kill it? When I asked him, you know, I said, you know, is this final, or is this like, you know, Cher's final tour that we've had like five of
them? Yeah, we were talking about
that have happened so far, and he says for him it's final. He doesn't want to be Medea's age still playing Medea.
That's funnier than the movies are.
Well, he did say that the only way he would ever bring this character back is if he was able to book a couple of weeks at the Regal Theater, which, you know, is they're rebuilding it and rehabbing it, and Kanye West has put $1 million into rebuilding this theater. That if they brought Medea back to the Regal where it all started, that he would come back and do it then.
Interesting.
So if that happens, three seats for all of us.
Dean, a texter from 224 says, how about Louis Anderson playing the mom on Baskets?
Yeah.
That takes it to a level that I've never seen before.
I don't even think it's him anymore. I think it's Christine Baskets.
So good.
Yeah, and he says that all he's doing is acting like his mom.
Channeling his own mother.
Channeling his mother with
that. How about that? All right, so a C for Medea.
I tried it one time, and it took such a long time for the hair removal.
Oh, sure. Of course.
I don't have that kind of time.
Who's got the time?
Who's got a week for for naring?
For naring.
A C to Medea.
That what that stuff is that burns the hair off?
Yeah, nair. Yeah. Nair for
waxing's
hair.
Waxing's better.
Yeah. Yep.
I tried that. I tried Black & Decker. Neither one worked very well.
What about Greta? Tell us about Greta.
Greta is actually a pretty good movie. It's a thriller. It's a little bit how do I describe? Well, it's the story of this very young, you know, happy to please everybody young girl who comes to New York City. She hooks up with an older woman who seems very nice in the beginning, but the older woman becomes very possessive and very demanding, and just, you know, wants every minute of her time and finds every other thing that this young girl does a threat to their friendship. It becomes a rather, you know, psychotic-like relationship. It's played beautifully with Chloe Moretz in it.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah, she's a great actress, and also the French actress. I believe her name is Juliette Huppert.
Mm-hmm.
Also a really great actress. The performances are so good in this, and it's well made. It's, you know, if you're in the mood for just like a really nail biting kind of creepy thriller, I gave this one a Dean's List B. Greta. Or as the autocorrect on my computer likes to keep calling this, great.
Great, yeah. And I do want to point out, it's made by a man named Neil Jordan, who's right. made great movies for the last 20 years. Movies like Interview with a Vampire, Crying Game,
yes.
Michael Collins. He doesn't get enough directorial jobs, in my opinion. So whenever he does put out a movie, I go out of my way to see it.
And I think it's very characteristic of his kind of movie. A job really well done with that. The other big movie news for this weekend is that they've announced that for 1 week only, they are releasing into theaters what they're calling the encore version of A Star is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. It will include 12 more minutes of footage that wasn't in the original release, a couple of new songs, a couple of new scenes, a couple of new things for fans of the movie, because there's hardly been any talk
Zero.
At all this week of right. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So nice to see them finally getting a tiny bit of publicity with the
poor things.
Extended version.
Poor dears.
Of this movie. Did you see her on Jimmy Kimmel?
I did see it.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? For people who didn't see it, they asked Jimmy Kimmel asked the question everybody wants to know: are you guys in love? Are you doing it? What's going on there? And her answer was great, Dean. What'd she say?
She said, you know, we wanted you to feel like we were in love. It's a love song. Shallow is a love song. The movie is a love story, and we wanted people to feel like these two people were in love, and that they had rehearsed that song that they did on the Oscars. They rehearsed for a week. Bradley Cooper was meticulous in setting up exactly how they would do it, from the music starting with them still in their seats, walking up on the stage, the piano being pushed out onto the stage, where they stood, where they looked. Bradley Cooper getting up and, you know, walking over to the piano bench and sitting and gazing into each other's eyes. He said that's what this song is supposed to be. We wanted to make you feel like we were in love.
Mission accomplished.
So,
yeah.
You know, it makes sense. And then my favorite part of the whole interview, that, you know, Gaga said, for 3 years I've had my arms wrapped around Tony Bennett, and that doesn't mean that we're in love. And Jimmy Kimmel goes, are you having an affair with
Tony Bennett? Beautiful.
It's very funny.
So funny. Dean, thanks so much. Great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too, guys.
Thanks. That's Dean Richards. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
And we are going to go to the stream, and feel free to join us. We have no commercial break before
the
news.
Oh, we don't? Can we talk? I, for people who didn't get to hear it, we started something yesterday on the stream that we hope to finish today. Wendy, this was something that you had found, and we only got to a couple of these yesterday, but an interesting topic, and one that we'll finish today.
All right. Well, we'll do that. What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We didn't find out where Dean was, did we?
No. He's very secretive about that. Oh, and tell people, can you say what the topic is, or do you prefer not to?
I can't find it, because I was going to do something else.
Oh, all right. So one of those things will either be said or done, or not.
It was like interesting food facts, like why is a pretzel shaped that way?
Right,
it was supposed to appear that someone was praying.
Yes.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
None of those really.
We didn't believe any of them.
No, there were three different versions of why a pretzel is shaped that way, and we didn't believe any of them.
Right.
Is Cheese Whiz really a cheese product, and that is not?
Right.
But the dust on a Cheeto is really made of cheese.
That's legit.
And I have more of those fun food facts.
Okay, good. So that'll all take place on the stream in just a little bit. And you have the option, you can listen to us there, or you can stay right here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's up to you.
And what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Steve? I had a feeling this was going to happen today.
Dean kidnapped him.
I got a surprise for you guys on the stream.
What is
You're
it?
You're going to have a special news guest.
And that is, can you say?
Andrea Darlis.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That'll be a lot of fun.
I'm supposed to hit a button, but I don't know how to hit the button because nothing's flashing here.
Oh.
We have been left without a rope the last 2 days.
Yes.
All right, there we go. So I hit A, and there is Bertrand.
Now it's working. Steve, can you hear us?
Just like Oz, I've been here all along.
Isn't that frustrating?
Yes.
Like pay when no attention talking, no to one that listens. Tall newsman behind the curtain, Wendy.
What's going on, people? So fun food facts, why the pretzel is twisted?
Yeah.
Yes, and why are you?
I'm a pretzel stick.
Yes, you are. You're Mr. Salty.
Hey, so... I'm sorry. Just say that one more time.
That's a compliment, Steve. It didn't sound like one, but it is.
Nick might have missed it the first time.
Sure.